Hello and welcome to a live edition of the Fantasy Game Plan podcast. My name is Leo Howell. I am joined by Matt Harmon, which you can see by the fact that he has his name at the bottom of his screen because he knows how to do Google Hangouts and I don't. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Good, and I also have my name down there because I'm a shameless self-promoter and I love attention. So let's not leave that out of the equation.
Okay. We will give you your full credit for being an awesome video game.
Thank you.
Well, we are here on live on Monday night. Monday Night Football is on my television. Well, it's ESPN's pregame show. So we are moments away from the end of week two of the NFL season, which I wrote an article today where I compared this NFL season so far to Jumanji. And I feel like that's kind of what it's been, that every time something happens, every time someone takes a new turn, there's some new plague that comes upon the NFL. There's some suspension, there's some injury, there's some scandal, there's some something that just keeps on happening. And obviously, that has real football implications, but it also has fantasy football implications. And we don't care about real football here. Neither of us care about real football. Real football's dumb. Fake football is where it's at, and we are here to tell you about the fake football implications of all of the stuff that's happening right now in the NFL. And so one of the primary things that we're going to talk about before we kind of get into your questions and get to some strategy thoughts on week three is injuries. And there are currently a few guys specifically who will be short-term injured, and that's such a tough thing to deal with as a fantasy owner. So Matt, I just wanted to get your general thoughts on what do you do when you have an injured player who is, let's just say, for example, you've got a Mark Ingram, you've got a Jamal Charles, you've got Ryan Matthews, guys who are going to be out a month or so. What do you do with them? How do you handle them if they're on your team? And then how do you handle them if you're not on your team and you have a chance to maybe get them during this time?
Well, I mean, it definitely is a case-by-case basis, not only if they're on your team, but also targeting them as well. You know, for example, if it's a Jamal Charles and he's on my team, I'm obviously going to probably hold on to him, especially if it's a team that I think is deep and competitive, that, you know, I can withstand the fact that I've lost probably my, you know, probably my best player, but he'll be back for later on in the season. You know, I've already invested in him at this point, you know, with drafting and everything like that. So if he's on my team, I'm probably going to hold on to him, you know, in all honesty, unless I get a really great trade offer. But of course, then you have guys like Mark Ingram where, you know, that, yeah, Ingram has played well so far. He looks to be an improving player, you know, but is he really worth holding a roster spot for? You know, it depends. And it's also, this is a terrible time for, you know, to start sustaining injuries because bye weeks are going to start hitting and you're going to need those roster spots. So if you have multiple injured players, you really have to start prioritizing them. And, you know, that's kind of your choice. You know, a guy like Ingram, who, if we're talking about him specifically, you know, and that sort of player who, you know, has had a good role so far, but he's not exactly, you know, an established player, I'm probably not going to hold on to him too long. It just depends, you know. So if I really need to use that spot, I'm okay letting Ingram go. It just depends. And then if they're not on my team, you know, I do sort of like if the price is good. I like, you know, the idea, especially again if you're deep competitive team right now. You know, targeting one of those injured players who can, you know, bolster a weak spot for you later on. But again, it's very case by case.
Yeah, I think in the case with Ingram specifically, that he's a guy that you can target right now because I feel like in some leagues he may be dropped or just on the verge of being dropped. And he played with his injury from what I've seen. It's a broken hand, and he's going to have surgery and all that. And so it's not like he's just going to come back miraculously really soon. And hand injuries are bad for skill position players, but I feel like people already were kind of ready to give up on him at a moment's notice. And so this is maybe the straw that breaks the camel's back to where you can either get him for free or next to free in a trade. And that's obviously just going to add such value to your team that you can't get otherwise. Like, you're not going to get a Mark Ingram on your waiver wire. I mean, the closest you'll get is a Bobby Rainey, and even then, you know, we'll talk about him a little later. You know, you're not guaranteed maybe the volume, because Ingram had taken a step forward in his usage this year in the red zone, and it's small sample size and all that, but not only in his usage, but in his efficiency in the red zone. So it is definitely important to keep stocking up talent on your team and getting a guy who's short-term injured can do that. But if you're in a shallower league or with a shallower bench, it can be tough to, like you said, navigate bye weeks, particularly since I think that four is one of the weeks that has several players or several teams as opposed to just two teams on the bye that week. So you do have that issue. But I was actually talking to someone on Twitter today about Noshon Moreno specifically, and he asked if he should stash him or get rid of him. And my answer to that is that you should hold on to these guys as long as you can until you literally have no other option. Because obviously, putting a starting lineup out there that is competitive enough to possibly win you a week in head-to-head leagues is so important. Because if you lose just one week, you know, you can't just score double the next week to make up for that. Like, you're losing points. You're losing opportunities to make the playoffs and do all that. In a head-to-head league. So if you've got to drop Noshon Moreno in 3 weeks to pick up a starting running back, like, you know, I'm totally okay with that. But otherwise, just hold on to him as long as you can. And, you know, if someone's willing to trade you a startable asset for it, you know, I'm okay with that. But I do like the idea of targeting these guys if your bench is deep enough. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's really a case of it's case by case. You know, if a guy like, you know, if you're in a 12-team league and you've got Jericho Cotchery on the end of your bench and he gets hurt for 2 months, like, you know, you just go. Just let him go, cut him. There's nothing, you know, worth hanging on to there. But Jamal Charles, like, obviously keep him. If somebody's going to give you Jamal Charles for, like, 10 cents on the dollar at this point, go ahead and take that. But, yeah, there's a lot of options for what you can do with injured players. I think our general advice here would be it's a case-by-case basis, and it's usually keep what you've got until you have no options left, and if you're going to pursue somebody, make sure it's really cheap and that you've got the bench space to hold on to the guy for any, you know, meaningful period of time.
Yeah, and if you're the guy that has, you know, has these injured players and somebody approaches you, you know, trying to trade for them, you know, don't sell low. I almost never like selling, you know, a guy low unless it's somebody, you know, who's just a total disaster and you just kind of need to get them off and you can get something for them. Like if somebody wanted to trade you, you know, Trent Richardson or somebody wanted to trade something for Trent Richardson, that would be one, you know, certain circumstances, a disaster, obviously.
Yeah, just, a guy that you already regret having on your roster and use as kind of an out to get from under him. But that's more of a psychological thing.
Right.
Like you're not actually helping your team. You're just giving yourself an excuse. But I hear that. Like, that's what people are going to do with Ryan Matthews right now, which is why it's good to maybe target him. Because if you can, like, if you could flip, you know, end of the bench guy, like, because it depends on your league what an end of the bench guy is. For Ryan Matthews right now, like, you having Ryan Matthews for the playoffs is better than most of the guys that you can get at the end of your roster right now. So
yeah, if you're like me and you're, you know, you went very light on running back kind of all across the board this year, and you know, you have a guy like your fifth wide receiver is like Marcus Wheaton, who's outperforming expectations. If you could flip, you know, a Wheaton or someone like that for Ryan Matthews, you know, I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, and I think that's a good example. If you went zero RB or whatever this year, you went wide receiver and tight end heavy, that you've got guys on your bench that other guys can use. Because like Ingram and Matthews, not Charles obviously, and Moreno are flex guys. And so teams, it doesn't hurt either roster all that much. So I agree with that completely. I guess this is similar in terms of a guy who's not playing right now but will be playing later. How are you handling Josh Gordon? Or if you had him, hypothetically, if you don't, how are you handling him? Because at the reports right now, Adam Schefter reported today that it seems pretty concrete that he's going to get a 10-game suspension. There have been rumors that it could go up to 12 with a DWI arrest, and that legal case actually comes up right before his suspension ends. How would you handle him if he's on your roster right now and you know, in a trade or a possible free agent pickup if he's still out there in a league?
Yeah, right now it's easy to say that I'm holding him, and I am holding him in several leagues right now, you know, as kind of just, okay, I'm just going to let him sit there and see what happens. And it will definitely get a little, you know, I do wish we had a little more clarity. But right now I'm not really hurting for starters, you know, on any team right now, except for a few running back cases, but, you know, I've kind of planned for that. So I'm not really worried about it right now, about holding him. It's easy to say at this point that I hold on to Josh Gordon, you know, for a potential playoff game or something like that. But it's going to get significantly harder as we get into the bye weeks and things like that. And you start to get these, you know, again, especially if you're light on running backs and you're starting to get these, you know, guys who are going to get opportunities because of injury, like Donald Brown, Nile Davis, Kyrie Robinson. You know, I'm really interested in taking my shots on those guys to see if they can return, you know, a starting level value for my, you know, wide receiver, tight end heavy leagues. But I've got Gordon sitting there essentially doing nothing. You know, it's easy to say right now I'm holding on to him for upside, but it's going to get harder, you know, as we go on.
Definitely. And something to keep in mind with Gordon and, you know, talking about holding him for the playoffs is you have to make the playoffs to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if you got Gordon for free and he's just on the end of your bench, like, you know, that's whatever. You're probably not going to win and lose your league with, you know, keeping one roster spot for him. But if you, like, drafted Gordon and you've got, like, draft assets in him, like, you almost have to hold on to him because otherwise, you know, your team was built on the foundation of this guy's going to give me something. And so you should have had a plan in place already for he's not going to play for a while. But you do have good matchups when he comes back. If he comes back, you know, in week 12 or 13, like, he's got Falcons, Bills, Colts as his first three games. So, you know, there's definitely some matchups there. But then your championship game weeks, 15 and 16, you got the Bengals and the Panthers. Mm. So, like, it's not all, you know, it's not going to be some huge party when Josh Gordon's back and that he's just going to take over the league and be some superstar. Like Josh Gordon's really, really good. I'm not going to deny that. But who's going to be playing quarterback? Are they going to be able to navigate these defenses? You know, like, lob
what
it up.
What kind of shape is he going to be in? You know, it's a lot of questions.
There's so many questions here. And he is going to be able to work out with the team under the new drug policy from what I've
seen.
So maybe he will be in a little better shape than, you know, maybe some other guys in similar situations. But I'm willing to sell him at this point if somebody's going to trade for him. And I'm willing to cut him if you reach that point where you have no other options, if you've got other injury issues, if you've got bye week problems. Because I'm just not sold that you can risk not making your playoffs if just because you held on to Josh Gordon instead of, like you said, picking up a Nile Davis or a Bobby Rainey or a Kyrie Robinson this week who could legitimately give you three or four wins over the next three or four weeks. That could get you to the playoffs when maybe you wouldn't have otherwise, and then, you know, Josh Gordon sitting there useless. If you're in a 17-week league, like a total points league or something like that, like, obviously hold on to Gordon because you're going to get 6 or 7 weeks out of him that other people might not. I'm in a total points 17-week league, and, you know, I'm going to be starting him week 17 against the Ravens, so and that could win me my league. So it depends on your format, obviously, but if your playoffs start in 12 or 13, like, you really could bail on Josh Gordon just to the free agency list at this point.
Yeah.
And check your league settings, because if the rosters lock as soon as the playoffs start and no one else can get him at that point, then, you know, make somebody else have to carry him all year to, you know, force the decision on other people, or try to trade him, because there are some people who are going to, you know, want to trade for him, even, you know, if they don't think they're going to make the playoffs, just to, you know, hope that they can get something out of him. But that's our general talk about injuries and suspensions and stuff, which are going to keep happening this season because it's just that kind of season in the NFL, unfortunately. But let's talk about some more positive things. Let's look ahead to week 3 of the NFL season. We're doing this a little early, obviously, on Monday, so injury statuses aren't quite updated, so you know, there are going to be situations where we've missed a guy who
yeah.
is hurt or is not hurt or is benefiting from a guy who is hurt. So, you know, keep we both talk about football way too much on Twitter, so you can just follow us there. And you can even see Matt's Twitter handle on his lower third if you need to follow him. But let's talk about some guys this week that we like and that we don't like. And let's start at the quarterback position. Who are some quarterbacks that you are high on this week that you are rolling in all formats and that you are feeling good about on your rosters?
Yeah, I think Nick Foles jumps out. You know, he's going to play tonight, and for week three, he goes against Washington. I know Jacksonville didn't show it, and Houston actually didn't get to show it that much, you know. But I still think this Washington defense, the secondary, can be exposed. Their front seven looks a lot better. You know, they pretty much abused that Jacksonville offensive line. I got to watch that game. I know, you know, a lot of it was on Chad Henne too. And that makes me think that as far as their, you know, the Eagles have a slightly, you know, better offensive line. They're missing some pieces. But I think Foles can still get enough time to find the open receivers. Obviously, I want to see how he looks tonight after having kind of a, you know, up and down week one. But I think that's one that I look forward to. You know, D'Angelo Hall, you know, he thinks he's the man, but he did get toasted by Allen Hurns early on in that Washington Jacksonville game, and Hurns just couldn't make the catch. So I still think that this is a secondary that can be exploited, and I think the Eagles' offense is, you know, much more likely to do it than the Texans or the Jaguars. So that's one I like. Andrew Luck going against, you know, Jacksonville. I think one of the things that, you know, it's been a wild ride between week two and week one, but one of the constants is that Jacksonville's defense stinks. So that's something you can look to right there. Again, Luck is going to play tonight, but I think we can feel pretty certain that, you know, he's going to be a fantasy, you know, stud either way. I think he'll toast that Jacksonville secondary. Tom Brady against the Raiders, that's another constant right there. So those are a few that jump out to me right away. Are, you know, Foles, Luck, and Tom Brady. And, I mean, none of those are groundbreaking names. You have a few others with good matchups. I still think Dallas is a matchup that you can exploit. So maybe, you know, if you're really crazy, you might want to play. Yeah, Austin Davis, I actually had some pretty good moments against the Bucks this week. Sorry, I didn't do that on purpose, I swear. But yeah, he had some good moments. So maybe if he starts another week, or maybe it's Sean Hill, perhaps he has something against that Dallas defense, who, you know, can be exploited. I still think.
Yeah, the Dallas defense is definitely still targetable in fantasy. I'm just not sure I want to go with the Rams quarterbacks, because even with the good matchup against the Bucks, it still was, I mean, it was serviceable, but a team with better pass rush, which, you know, I know that the Cowboys aren't really that, but or that with just defensive backs who, you know, can catch the ball, like, you're not going to keep getting these flawless weeks out of Sean Hill and Austin Davis types, and particularly not if, you know, Case Keenum cracks into that starting lineup. But, yeah, all sorts of talent, if you want to call it that.
I love Case Keenum.
I wrote this for Roto Grinders today, but I'm going to continue to target the Atlanta defense with my quarterbacks in particular. And so that means, and I promise I'm not a homer, but I'm going to be rolling with Josh McCown this week. It's a Thursday game, so it's going to be tough to do it in daily, because, like, I know a lot of people only play the Sunday slate in daily, which, you know, is whatever. But in year-long leagues and in Thursday dailies, that you want to get Josh McCown, just because the Falcons cannot rush the quarterback at all. And their corners are talented, but I'm not really crazy about their safeties or their linebackers. So there's holes in that coverage that you can exploit. We saw this with the touchdown of Mohamed Sanu. The Falcons blitzed eight guys on that play, or they rushed eight guys on that play. And seven of them got blocked, and one was a free rusher. But if the quarterback's able to throw it in that case, like, the play's over. Like, it's going to be a big play unless your corners have just done everything perfectly. And even then, like, a good enough throw to, you know, a guy like Sanu who isn't really spectacular but, you know, has the hands to make a catch away from his body, which is really all he needed to do in that case because Alfred was trailing him and Dalton just left it out ahead of him. But, you know, with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, McCown has guys he can just kind of lob it up to if they send a blitz. And with Jeff Tedford kind of getting more involved in the offense in Tampa, I do feel like he's going to continue to improve. And he's shown that he can run, and running in fantasy for quarterbacks breaks the system. It's the Konami code that you see me and several others tweeting about all the time. When a quarterback gets a rushing touchdown, we call them Konami whatever, because it's sort of like a cheat code when quarterbacks run the ball because of the ratio at which you should get points from running the ball as opposed to throwing. So I'd roll with McCown if you're in a quarterback bind. Geno Smith has been playing well, and they play the Bears on Monday night. So I'm totally okay if you need to pick up a quarterback of sticking with Geno Smith. The timeout issue aside, like, he did throw a touchdown to Jeremy Curley on that play in addition to the other things he's done. Obviously, you know, Eric Decker's health is a question here. You need to monitor that because that does impact his value. Either way, his running ability and his throwing ability, and that's a winnable game against Chicago, in my opinion, on Monday night Monday night. So that's one that I would look to, and I'm going to keep riding the Alex Smith train until it kills me at this point. He plays Miami this week, and they gave up a decent day to EJ Manuel, so. Yeah. That's saying something. Cameron Wake is a good pass rusher, and Brent Grimes is a good corner, but that defense just doesn't put it all together from what I can tell. And I did watch that game on Sunday, and maybe it's credits to Nathaniel Hackett. Maybe he just called a really good game for the Bills offense, but I feel like there's some things that you can exploit on offense against the Miami defense. And obviously, with Jamaal Charles being out, that stinks because Nile Davis isn't going to be quite the receiving threat necessarily, but there are still going to be opportunities for Smith on the ground and through the air to do some things against Miami. So he's a guy that I'll take a look at, but I think those other two options, and there's some others as well that are too good. But if you've got Alex Smith and you can't get a better option, I don't hate rolling with him. Also, Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing the Giants. I know you hate Ryan Fitzpatrick, but until he's benched, I'm going to continue to suggest Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you can't stop me. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's fine. You can continue.
quarterbacks I'm avoiding, though. I'm not going to touch. I'm not going to touch Cam or Big Ben. I don't want either side of that matchup. That those two defenses against those two quarterbacks. Like, I just Cam if you've got him in season long, but I'm not going to play him in daily. And Big Ben, I'm not playing in any format this week against the Panthers. And this is the ultimate question. Are you going to start Peyton this week against the Seahawks? We saw him. We saw them kind of exposed, as they were saying, against the Chargers. But obviously Aaron Rodgers, who is just fine, was unable to put anything together. So are you going to use Peyton? Obviously, I don't think either of us have him in season long all that much. But if you did, would you start him? And if you have him in, or would you have him in any daily lineups this week?
Yeah, I think he's a no-go in daily for sure. Obviously we don't know what prices are yet, but I'm sure it's more than I'm willing to pay for someone going to play Seattle at Seattle. And as far as if you have him in season long, I mean, can you bench him? I mean, who are you going to bench him for? I mean, yeah, you put out some really good names.
He's the top quarterback on FanDuel. DraftKings prices aren't out yet, but I'm going to drop down $400 and get Andrew Luck instead against the Jaguars if I'm going to pay that much for a quarterback, which, you know, quite frankly, since Nick Foles is $1,500 less than Aaron Rodgers, like, that's a no-brainer to me.
But. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I said, no way on daily leagues. In season long, I honestly wouldn't hate it if Geno Smith is somehow still out on your waiver wire. I don't know if I really feel comfortable dropping down all the way down the train to McCown or one of those guys you suggested.
How would you feel about Tannehill against Kansas City?
I don't know. I don't think Tannehill's looked all that great.
I didn't know if you were a Tannehill guy.
I'm not really.
Drew Stanton against San Francisco?
No, I can't. I want to do it, but I don't know. It's just such a bad matchup, you know? I mean, just Seattle in Seattle. I mean, we already saw there.
Absolutely. Rodgers, if you can go out and get Geno, if you can go out and get I'm going to keep saying Fitzpatrick. If you can go out and get Kirk Cousins, I'll take Kirk Cousins against the Eagles this week.
That's really not a that's a pretty good suggestion.
Like, I don't like Kirk Cousins, but like, I feel like at least you're going to get a couple touchdowns against the Eagles. So, you won't hear me recommend Kirk Cousins all that often, but
Here's the dark horse reality in all this, Leo, is that if you were stupid enough to pay the overinflated price for Peyton Manning, you were probably stupid enough to draft another quarterback too high. So maybe you could just start that guy.
Ouch. It is true that a lot of people probably did draft a backup to Peyton if they took him. So
yeah, I mean, if you took Peyton where he was going usually this year, you're already kind of, you don't understand the way quarterbacks work in fantasy football. So you probably took a backup too high. And hey, I'll admit it, I did that. I totally did that my first year playing too. So I took Drew Brees and Tony Romo at like a stupid too close to each other. But anyways, that's a long story.
All right, let's move on to running backs for this week. And again, let me be a homer. The Falcons don't do anything against the run either. And watch Doug Martin's status. If Doug Martin goes, I'm not crazy about either, because I feel like we're on the verge of a changing of the guard at back in Tampa. But if Doug Martin doesn't play, Bobby Rainey should be in every single one of your lineups. Against the Falcons, he is just—it's just way too good of a matchup. But I won't bore you with my Bucks thoughts anymore. Danny Woodhead against Buffalo is kind of a deeper guy that I like with Ryan Matthews out. A lot of people will tell you that you want Donald Brown. Donald Brown is just going to take Ryan Matthews' workload, which is not fantasy friendly. It's between the 20s. It's not pass game heavy. So it's just chunk yards in the middle of the field, which is, you know, good for an emergency fill in, but that's not something you want if you're going for any sort of upside. Woodhead is on the field all the time in the red zone. He gets targets in the red zone and he gets carries. Because I feel like they like to keep the defense off guard by having Woodhead out there as opposed to a back that's more traditional in terms of carrying the ball. So I really like Danny Woodhead. Buffalo is a decent defense, but you know they're not unbeatable, and I feel like the Chargers are a good enough offense that you can trust them this year. If you've got a Chargers player, now that they've got, you know, this game against the Seahawks out of the way, like, Chargers offense, you should pretty much just trust in any situation at this point, because they've proven that they're just efficient enough that they don't have a huge upside, but they do have a safe enough floor that you can trust them every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point.
So who are a couple running backs you're looking at this week, or that you're not looking at, I guess?
Well, I'm definitely thinking that, you know, Zach Stacy looks like he's kind of grabbed a hold of that job.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least for the time being.
And he looked all right against Tampa as well. Like, yeah, he's still just Zach Stacy, but he's not looking bad. He did fumble, but it was kind of fluky. Mm-hmm. The defender kicked him in the face, and the ball popped out. It wasn't Antonio Brown kicked in the face. It was actually, he was going to ground, and his legs flailed up and hit him in the face. So it was a little fluky, and I'm not sure that that's going to lose him any playing time moving forward.
And again, against the Cowboys, I'm still willing to, you know, and they were kind of giving up some good gains to Sean Green and everything, but the Titans just kind of abandoned the run in the second half. So, you know, I still think that that's obviously a matchup you can exploit. I like Kyrie Robinson against the Vikings. They gave up some pretty good ground to
Stephen Ridley when they fell behind. You know, the Saints are finally playing a game at home, so I expect them to look much more like the Saints, which means a lot of work, you know, a lot of plays. I think Robinson, not only I think is he a really good runner, I don't know where you stand on Robinson, but I think he's a really, really good player. I think if there's one guy that the Saints, they'll never do it, but if they could feature a guy, I think Robinson is that guy.
I wrote about them today, and if you look at usage, it's very strong in Ingram's favor this year, and it was very strong in Thomas's favor last year, but Thomas is becoming Sproles, which means that they're kind of going hot hand, I guess, between Ingram and Robinson, but now that Ingram's out, it does open up a path to playing time for Robinson that can give him the opportunity to win that job back that he had kind of won there at the end of the last year. Yeah. He does break a ton of tackles, but he's not a great athlete. So it's interesting to see, you know, what he can kind of become, I guess. I'm rolling heavy with Pierre Thomas if you're looking for a Saints back, but I can totally understand going with Robinson and in a deeper league if he's available in your league and you can pick him up, or if you've been holding on to him in a deeper league, like this is the time to play him if you have him, or if you can get him, he's worth adding over. Yeah, I'd rather have him than a Jerick McKinnon or a Matt Asiata right now, even with, you know, the uncertainty about Adrian Peterson. I feel like Robinson is just a better player on a better offense, and a better offense does set up a running back for scores.
Yeah, I think that definitely, you know, makes a big deal. And I think Robinson can catch a few passes, too. You know, I don't think he's totally inept in that area at all. Actually, I think he's pretty solid. We're going to see how Ahmad Bradshaw looks tonight, you know, and if, well, there's Trent Richardson getting tackled for a loss. So, you know, welcome to Monday Night Football, right as you would expect. But anyways, I think that, you know, we're going to get to see how Ahmad Bradshaw looks, and they're playing the Jaguars, you know, who I think we're pretty much, you know, they're not a good defense. They're probably a little worse against the pass than they are the run, but nevertheless, I still think that Bradshaw is a player that if he plays well tonight and they actually use him, which, you know, who knows, that's a matchup that I kind of like to, you know, on the cheap. And I think there's really never going to be clarity on the Patriots running back situation, but, you know, we did see Stephen Ridley get a lot of work. You know, we saw Vereen kind of taken out of the game plan, and it's probably because, you know, they were ahead and they wanted to ice the game, and Ridley is definitely that guy. You know, he's the bigger back, the solid all-around runner. So he's won against the Raiders. You know, we just saw Arian Foster pretty much tear them to pieces. Alfred Morris had a nice game again, not Alfred Morris, but the Jets running backs had some success against them in week one. I mean, the Raiders are bad. That's a no-brainer. I think that the Patriots will win that game easily, you know, and Ridley will get a few carries trying to ice the game. So I think he's a solid play this week, too.
Definitely, and in further proof that I have no idea how to use Google Hangouts, I haven't been putting my own face up when I've been talking, so people have been watching you listen to me, so you're welcome for that. Hopefully you've all been able to hear me. You know, welp, who cares? Anyway, more about running backs. Like I said, you want to just, I think we've both mentioned this ad nauseum at this point, but you want to target the Falcons, you want to target the Jaguars, you want to target the Cowboys, you want to target the Bears. And you want to target the Raiders. I agree with you that who knows what the Patriots are going to do on offense at this point in terms of running backs. Like, I'm going to try to look into this and ask around and see if there's any predictive things that they're, you know, that are available out there for when it's going to be Ridley, when it's going to be Vereen, when it's going to be Bolden, when it's going to be James White, when it's going to be James Devlin. But for the most part, like, I feel like you should just give it a shot with any of those guys against the Raiders, because it's just not going to be a competitive game. So all of those guys should get their chances. Let's move on to wide receivers. And before we get into guys we like and don't like, with AJ Green probably out for the Bengals, are you rolling with Mohamed Sanu? Is there another guy you like there, or are you just going to completely ignore that altogether?
I'm probably just going to ignore that passing game altogether. I don't think Sanu is a, you know, a great player or anything. You know, he had kind of a fluky game this week with the, you know, the long touchdown and everything. So I'm just not sure that I think he's, you know, developing or breaking out or anything. And I mean, I'll still probably, depends on how cheap Andy Dalton is and what his matchup is, so probably not this week, but, you know, I think just under Hugh Jackson, his upside is going to be limited. You know, we really saw them use the running game this week against Atlanta, and I think, so, yeah, as far as Sanu goes, I'm probably not really all that interested.
Yeah, I'm totally avoiding that situation altogether. This would be obviously an all Marvin Jones everything week. If Marvin Jones were healthy, but since he's not, I'm not touching. Like, you may get me to pick up Jermaine Gresham for, you know, pennies on daily, but or if I'm in tight end streaming in any league, I might go with Gresham. But otherwise, I'm just not gonna do anything with that offense, passing offense this week. With that in mind. Who are some guys that you like this week at the wide receiver position, either at the top or the bottom of the spectrum?
Well, I like your boy Vincent Jackson a little bit this week. You know, I think, I mean, the situation there is kind of, you know, questionable with McCown and Lovie Smith and all that. But, you know, if you're being positive, it's Atlanta. You know, Thursday night, of course, that's always a bit of a messy situation. But I still think that Jackson... we haven't seen the best from him yet, and if McCown, you know, sort of starts to figure things out, look better, you know, maybe he gets back to, you know, what we're used to seeing from him. So I think he's a pretty decent play. All the Packers receivers against the Lions secondary. Cam Newton, actually, I thought he looked pretty good against this defense, and, you know, he kind of made do with some of the secondary targets. So I think that bodes well for, you know, and it's a beat-up secondary that wasn't very good to begin with. So I think that bodes well for, you know, start the Packers receivers. Ooh, that's a real genius take, Matt. But, you know, I think that means good for Davante Adams, who I think should be a priority on waiver wires. He looks to have taken over Jarrett Boykin's job as the third receiver there. So perhaps he's a sneaky play this week. He looks to be, you know, like I said, he looks to be coming on there. And I think you could probably safely drop Jarrett Boykin at this point. Just another side note. I'm interested to see, you know, like we've mentioned, you know, Monday Night Football is on right now. I'm really interested to see who Luck kind of leans on when the Colts are inevitably in comeback mode. Kind of starts to indicate, you know, who he trusts. It'll probably be Wayne. We'll see because, you know, they're, like I said, they're playing the Jags this week. So one of those guys is going to be, you know, Hakeem Nicks, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne. They all could have really good games, but I'm really interested to see which one Andrew Luck starts to lean on. So that's going to give me a good indication where he's headed next week.
Definitely. I hate having to say this. I really do. But it looks like Sammy Watkins is worth keeping an eye on with the Buffalo Bills. He is becoming more and more a factor in that offense, and you know that they're getting him the ball on a fairly regular basis. And they play San Diego this week. San Diego is not very talented on defense, and so as much as I'd like to say Mike Williams and, you know, Scott Chandler, I can't because it's obviously Sammy Watkins there. So if you've got him, you know, starting this week. And if you don't, like, if he's available to you for cheap, like, I'm okay with going with that and in daily fantasy as well, depending on price. You know, that's maybe a guy you can target because he is capable of breaking a big play against a defense that's just not very good overall. I'm willing to target Fitzgerald and Floyd this week against San Francisco. I'm willing to roll with them because particularly Fitzgerald, I feel like week one maybe scared some people off of him and is going to bring his price down on daily as well. So San Francisco does not scare me at all on defense this year. They may put pressure on the quarterback, but they're not going to be able to defend those receivers very well on a consistent basis. And at this point, I'm not totally off of the Justin Hunter bandwagon, and against the Bengals, you know, considering that he's probably not going to draw Leon Hall all that often, you know, I'm maybe going to go with him if you've still got him, like as maybe a last-ditch effort, but, you know, that maybe just be some blind optimism on my part because I like Justin Hunter. But I agree with Vincent Jackson as well. Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans are both viable plays against Atlanta because Atlanta's just not good on defense. So you want to target them, and if you've got your long shares of Vincent, you drafted him high enough to where you pretty much have to start him this week.
Yeah, and just another thought on these wide receivers. You mentioned, you know, the San Francisco defense doesn't scare you. You know, obviously we watched Cutler when he was really dialed in that second half, you know, tear them up. Brandon Marshall caught 3 touchdowns. Well, the Bears are playing the Jets on Monday night next week, and the Jets have a terrible secondary, and I think the Packers just showed us all that. So that could be a pretty profitable game for everybody involved.
I mean, health is a big concern there with those guys. But, I mean, obviously it's a situation where you want to keep an eye on that situation. Because, yeah, if like, Santonio Holmes in a revenge game against the Jets as a Bears wide receiver, like, I'd be all about that if he's going to start if one of those guys doesn't go. And if, you know, if you've got Martin or Marshall and Alshon, like, you should be starting them every week anyway. But definitely this week, that's a great matchup as well. And Edelman, I know that the Patriots probably aren't going to be in that game all that long. Like they're gonna pull ahead, but it's Bill Belichick. He's just going to keep calling passes anyway. So I like Edelman a lot as well. And finally, we'll go to tight ends. Who are some tight ends this week that you are targeting or not targeting? I know some of this overlaps with wide receivers in terms of matchups, but if there's a particular guy that you are looking at this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you shouldn't even be in this position because you should have drafted Jimmy Graham in the first round, and then you don't even have to worry about it because he's going to have a great game against the Vikings at home, but that's another subject. But anyways, no, seriously. Let me get the really disgusting thought right off the bat. The Cowboys have given up a ton of yardage to tight ends. They let Delanie Walker go hog wild against them this week. Maybe Jared Cook, something. Maybe. I don't know.
Austin Davis looked for Jared Cook in that offense. He also looked for Lance Kendricks, for what it's worth, but he did look for Cook. I'm not sure how Hill did in that regard. I know that Hill wasn't really looking at Kenny Britt, though, so that is encouraging if you want Jared Cook. Yeah. This will be a week to use him for sure.
Yeah. And I should have mentioned in wide receivers, I even tried to remind myself to mention it, but yeah, I'm buying in on Brian Quick at this point. You know, he's the top target in that passing game.
With Austin out, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, he's had 2 productive weeks in a row. I actually want to go back and watch his tape this week when the All-22 comes out, and I think I might chart him a little. But anyways, back to tight ends. Yeah, if you're really sick and you want to hurt yourself, I guess you can play Jared Cook against them. Speaking of Delanie Walker, I still think he's a pretty good play. You know, the matchup against the Bengals is not great, but at the same time, that's not really the strength. You know, if they can mess with Jake Locker a little, but, you know, Locker seems to be looking for Walker a lot, so I still think that he's a pretty viable play. As far as other teams, I mean, it's really, there's nothing that sticks out to me right away. Maybe you feel differently. Dwayne Allen against the Jaguars, that's probably a pretty good play. You know, we keep coming back to the Jaguars. I keep coming back to the Jaguars. We watched Niles Paul really wreck the Jaguars last week. And also, I took a little bit of flack for saying this on Twitter today. I loved what I saw from Niles Paul in week 2, speaking of him. And, you know, in week 1, he had a few good plays, too. This is a guy who switched positions from a college wide receiver to now playing kind of that move tight end role. And honestly, now with Kirk Cousins starting, you know, they were on the second team together. Cousins is looking for Paul. I think Paul, I mean, he played well. He played really well. I don't think, you know, one of the guys from DLF didn't really like that I said that he could probably take the starting job from Jordan Reed. I don't think that's crazy to say. When you really break it down, Paul looked great. He said that he was just making plays because nobody was paying attention to him. I don't think that's true. I think he was making contested catches. So that's a guy that if you're streaming tight ends or, you know, in a daily league, I'm really enticed by what I'm seeing with Paul.
If we're going even deeper here, sure. and join me in this quest to go even deeper. Obviously, Vernon Davis is a play this week against the Arizona Cardinals, but Vernon Davis' health is in question. Vance McDonald can't catch the ball, so Derek Carrier becomes that super deep play option this week against the Cardinals. The Cardinals cannot defend tight ends, and Carrier made a couple catches against the Bears to prove that, you know, Cap can trust him. And obviously, you would think that, you know, Davis being out helps Crabb and Bolden, but, you know, since they're actually relatively strong at corner, the Cardinals are, but they're weaker at safety, tight end, or safety and linebacker in terms of defending tight ends, that, you know, I would roll with Derek Carrier if Vernon Davis is ruled out. If Vernon Davis isn't ruled out, you have to go with Vernon Davis. And Daly's like, I'm going to look at Vernon Davis pretty heavily. If his health checks out, obviously. That's a big concern there. Also, we've mentioned some of these matchups already, but you know, Buffalo and San Diego play, so I'm willing to keep rolling with Antonio Gates, who's on a little bit of a roll. I feel like it is chasing last week's touchdowns a little bit to go with Gates in Daly, but in any sort of other format, like, I'm totally comfortable with Gates against Buffalo. And if Jordan Cameron plays against Baltimore, I'm going to like that as well. People may have forgot about him this week, but, you know, definitely make sure to get him back in your lineup if he's going to play in this upcoming week. And then also, the Seattle tight ends are always tough to predict which ones are going to ever do anything. But in what could be a relatively high-scoring game by Seattle standards, if you need a tight end, I'm okay with picking up Zach Miller, because I feel like he's kind of the guy among those two tight ends, even though Luke Wilson's probably the better prospect overall. You know, I think that's the way to go. And also, this isn't really a guy that you can go get, but if you've got Jason Witten against the Rams, you know, Brandon Myers did some things against them, and then obviously, you know, they're not great. They're not a great defense in general. The Bucs kind of beat themselves in week one, and then obviously we saw what the Vikings did to them, or in week two, and then we saw what the Vikings did to them in week one. So, you know, Jason Witten's kind of been unheralded a little bit so far this year, but, you know, that's a guy that you can look at. All of your Cowboys are pretty safe plays this week. You know, DeMarco Murray, we didn't mention him earlier, but with Bobby Rainey, what Bobby Rainey did against the Rams, you can definitely feel comfortable with Murray. And then, you know, Witten is as safe as he ever is, but definitely not a guy that you should forget if you've maybe fallen asleep on him after a couple slow weeks to start the season.
Yeah, those are some pretty deep names, and Witten's not a bad one to point out, even though he has started slow. That might be, you know, the new reality, that he's just going to have these kind of meager stat lines. But at the same time, hey, you know, perhaps he has a nice week this week. And also, I want to break a little news here on the podcast. We just saw Trent Richardson actually have a nice run and cut back against the grain, so that's something you don't see very often. But anyways, any chance I can get to bag on Trent Richardson.
Definitely.
But anyways, so yeah, so those are some good tight end suggestions from you.
And kickers, pick a kicker, any kicker. Just make sure he's starting. Defenses, we've kind of already given you kind of the inverse of the defenses, but just looking at early Vegas lines, the Pittsburgh-Carolina game is going to be low-scoring, the Kansas City-Miami game is going to be low-scoring, and the Houston-New York game is going to be low-scoring, if you believe Vegas. So the Houston defense, if you picked them up last week for the Raiders game, which you should have, you should keep them for this week. I'm okay with the Miami defense against Kansas City. And either Pittsburgh or Carolina, I don't think that game's going to see much offense either way. But those defenses are probably already owned in your league, so that's not really much of a help to you at all. And obviously New England against Oakland, obviously Indianapolis, who's probably not owned in your league. Yeah. I would start them against against the Jaguars. And I know that I suggested Kirk Cousins earlier, but I'm also okay with the Eagles defense just because I don't feel like Kirk Cousins is going to light up the Eagles offense or Eagles defense. So if you need those deep cuts or those cheap daily defenses, that's where I'd go. But the Texans, if the Texans are still on the waiver wire in your league, they're definitely worth picking up because, you know, J.J. Watt is point creator for your defense special team spot on his own with the sacks and the pressures that he gets. If only we got points for him scoring touchdowns on offense.
Yeah, that makes good sense. You know, yeah, there's not a ton of defensive matchups that really jump off the page besides, you know, defenses that are probably already owned, so you're kind of out of luck there.
I mean, the New Orleans defense against Minnesota, yeah. They're still somehow out there. Like, I'd do with that. And if it turns out that Carson Palmer gets ruled out, like, you know, maybe you can consider the San Francisco defense more strongly in daily, but otherwise they just probably don't represent a good value now. And if you drafted them in year long, you did it too early, so you kind of have to stick with them. So, which is why you never draft your defense early, because what we saw from Seattle and San Francisco this week proves why, is that you really want to play the matchups as opposed to just rolling with one defense all season like that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to some questions, and I know that you've got a couple on Twitter, so if you could pull those up real quick and ask any of the ones that you've got there.
Sure. I have a few here. A couple that we got tonight. This is from at Ken Bohike on Twitter. I'm so bad.
He's my co-host on my other podcast.
Oh, okay, this is a great question.
It's Ken Bulky is his name, and he absolutely loves it.
Oh, that is an L.
Mispronounced his last name because it's a dumb last name, and he's a dumb person. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Are you just mean to everybody that you co-host podcasts with?
I'm not special guests. I was very nice to JJ when he was a special guest.
And, yeah, you sucked up plenty to JJ. We heard that already.
And when I did a podcast with Joe Bussell, NFL philosophy or whatever his NFLosophy, a while back, and that was nice to him too. So I'm nice to special guests. I'm not nice to co-hosts.
Whatever. Well, I can take the heat. Anyways, Ken, whatever his name is, asks, I have Jamal Charles, Ryan Matthews, D'Angelo Williams, and Ben Tate. What do I do?
Some people would tell you, this is why you don't draft running backs early. But then you can tell those same people that if you have A.J. Green, you know, Rob Gronkowski, you know, whatever, everybody gets hurt. It's whatever. But yeah. I'm interested to see what you would say. Like, what do you do when your team is just ravaged by injuries? Like, particularly right now, if you invested heavily in Charles, but then also have some of your depth guys hurt. Like, what are you doing right now to try and resolve that?
Well, I'm crying, for one. That, what do? I cry and grab a good bottle of bourbon. I think that's your first step. No, but seriously, for one, the first thing that I think of is I am totally okay with you dropping D'Angelo Williams and Ben Tate. Tate is probably the more aggressive drop than Williams, just because, you know, Tate's on a team with a good running game. But I think West and Crowell are pretty much, you know, sewing up that job. By the time Tate gets back, I just don't think he's going to give you enough value for holding on to him. I think you've got to be aggressive this week. If this is your team, you have to be aggressive. You've got to cut those two guys, and you have to add a guy like Nile. You have to try to add Nile Davis, Kyrie Robinson, and Donald. You got to try to add those guys. I mean, you have to, because if those are your running backs, you have nobody. I mean, who are you gonna play? And
yeah.
So, you know, I'm also, you know, it depends on the rest of your team, but you have to maybe look into making a trade. Even if this is, I mean, this is a pretty big emergency situation, because I'm guessing these are his, you know, maybe not one, yeah, like his 1-2-3 running backs, or 1-2-3-4 running backs actually. So I'm okay in this sense. Maybe see if maybe dangle Charles out there, see if you can get a fair offer for, you know, I mean, Charles is obviously a running back one. Maybe if you can get, you know, a running back two just to get you through this, you know, mess. I think maybe you look into it. I'm not sure, but I think you definitely drop Williams and Beat this week to try to get some of these guys who are going into good situations, you know, because of these injuries.
Yeah, definitely dropping Williams is worth it just because you need to make sure you have a guy who's going to play. I don't know about dropping Tate. Like, that is aggressive. That's, you know, I don't hate it, but, and he is always hurt, but.
I just don't know what he's coming back to. I mean, if I knew for sure he was going to come back to a starting role, maybe, but I don't know. I mean, West looked competent, at least. I thought he had some, he's had some nice plays, you know, 2 weeks in a row, so.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I definitely drop Williams, and I drop any backup tight ends and quarterbacks I have on my roster. And I'm willing to float a trade for Jamal Charles in that case, too. I feel like there's enough doubt about him apart from the injury that you can still get fair value for what I think he is this year, which is not what he was last year. I'm okay bailing on Charles even when he gets healthy just because I feel like that offense is not what it was and that he's going to struggle to consistently produce. I'm willing to do that. Like, I would, if you can get Steven Ridley and, you know, Riley Cooper or something, like, I'd almost start to consider that at this point. It's ugly. Like, I'm not saying that it's good, but,
yeah.
You know, because you're not going to get, like, if somebody's going to give you Andre Ellington for Jamal Charles, like, I'd take that right now, and I wouldn't even think twice about it, just because of availability. Like, you know, 13 weeks of Andre Ellington is better than 10 weeks of Jamal Charles, because the difference between them is not that big.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to get that. If you can, do it. Like, if somebody's going to give you Andre Ellington and something for Jamal Charles, like, take that all day right now. Same thing with, you know, Joik Bell. If someone's going to give you Joik Bell and something for Jamal Charles, I'd take that. Because I feel like those are running back twos, because, you know, you say running back two, and I feel like we have this vague idea of what that is, but in today's NFL, like, you know, running back two is just such a difficult thing to put a finger on anymore, but I feel like just guys who have defined roles and that, you know, have a little bit of experience under their belt are definitely worth your investment there, but I feel like it's definitely a situation where... you do obviously have to act, and I think it's time to maybe do something a little out of your comfort zone, like trading, trading Charles or otherwise. Like, if honestly, if you've got Matthews and somebody will give you something for him, like a running back that you're even barely okay with starting, like, I'll do that right now too, because I don't feel like his role is all that great either. I see the point in trading Tate or getting rid of Tate. Particularly if you can get Nile Davis, like if you set up your roster claims to get Nile Davis for Ben Tate, like I'll do that right away. And the same with Kyrie Robinson if he's out there. And Danny Woodhead. If Danny Woodhead's out there, you definitely want to drop Ben Tate for Danny Woodhead because I feel like they're about the same anyway. So I definitely see you there. We've got another question here from Matthew Lotshaw, who is Nostrabalus on Twitter. Which is kind of a cool name. I like that a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
He says that Tom Brady is his starting quarterback, and he asks if he should add Jay Cutler. He's in a 12-team league. If Jay Cutler's on the waiver wire in a 12-team league, I think that means you're either playing against complete and total idiots or people who know what they're doing and only have one quarterback on their roster. I'm going to lean towards it maybe being that they're not smart. Which, you know, is good for you. So best of luck and bringing home the win in that league. Both of those quarterbacks have really good matchups this week, but I feel like Brady's is better. That said, like, I'm almost willing to break my don't have two quarterbacks on your roster rule just to get both of these guys on my team and then trade to someone in the league who doesn't get Cutler before you do. I would trade Brady, actually. I think that Cutler's better for the rest of the year than Brady. But this week, I feel like Brady has a better matchup, and you want to stick with him at least for this week, rather than switching to Cutler. And I definitely wouldn't drop Brady for Cutler. But I'm interested to hear what you would do in this case. Would you roster both? Because I'm leaning that way in the rostering both, and then trying to trade one.
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely a little confused as to why Cutler was on the waiver wire. Maybe somebody overreacted to his week one through an interception to a defensive tackle thing. But then you see in week two he comes out and has, you know, just a monster game when he was
you know, really was pretty cold in the first half, so I don't know why Cutler's on the waiver wire. You know, we can start off with that. But I think you roster both, yeah. And, I mean, you play the matchups because this is – and this isn't, you know, one of those things where you're rostering two, you know, crappy quarterbacks and playing
matchups. Yeah, you're not – this isn't I have Peyton Manning and Alex Smith. This right. is two legitimate guys who could be top seven or eight options mm-hmm. this year. I just don't think you should be forcing yourself to have to play those matchups. You should be looking for a trade immediately.
Yeah.
But definitely while you have both, play the matchups. And then if you have to drop one, you know, like – at least you addition by subtraction for a few weeks and took those points away from everybody else. But
yeah, I think that's smart.
You definitely want to keep Brady in this week and then moving forward, play it on a week-by-week basis and try to trade one, preferably Brady, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm curious in your thoughts. If you had to just keep one, which one would you keep for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I'd keep Cutler for sure. I mean, I was actually looking it over this morning. You know, I'm in so many leagues that it's hard to keep track of, but I have Cutler in, like, a stupid amount of leagues. I mean, like, a really stupid amount. So, yeah, I think that that's something that, I mean, I love Cutler going into the season. I haven't really seen anything to make me waver off that. You know, he's just now, I mean, look at the game he had when his receivers, you know, weren't even healthy. I mean, that offense is just so juicy that I think he just can't turn that down. And, you know, you see the Patriots kind of, they want to run the ball and everything. I go with Cutler over Brady.
I had to switch the camera to me to show everyone me shaking my head at you calling a matchup juicy.
I said the offense is juicy.
Or whatever, match, whatever. Yeah.
Must you criticize me for
yes,
first
name? I must. all right, well, we got another question from Adam, AP McElrath on Twitter. This is about the Bucks. I'm going to answer a Bucks question live on the air on the Fantasy Gameplay podcast. He says, how do you feel about finishing second in the South and getting a wild card spot? That was my prediction for the season. I don't feel like it's a very likely possibility. Thank you very much. So with that in mind, do you have any other questions from people?
I don't, actually.
I don't think I do either. Except for Sal Stefanelli, who asked where I was, because I have no idea how to run a hangout, as I continue to prove, and that I'm going to have to fix before next week, so that this automatically switches and that I don't have to bounce back and forth, because that's annoying.
Yeah, that is a pretty easy fix, and I'll tell you off the air so as not to embarrass you.
Gosh, whatever. But anyway, with that in mind, that will do it for this episode of the Fantasy Game Plan. Matt, if you would like to share with everyone where they can find you on your lower third, on your obnoxious Google Hangout, please tell us what you've got going on and where people can find you and what you're up to.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MattHarmon_BYB. If you're listening to the audio version of this and you can't see the obnoxious Twitter thing, that is where you can find me. You can follow me there. You know, I just keeping up with football, guys. Going to actually go in tonight and update my scouting database for Optimum Scouting, which none of you can see, so you don't really care about that. But that's something else that I do. And doing a lot of cool stuff for Sportable right now, since you mentioned Sal. Doing the game day hangouts with Dan Schneier from PFF. We're going in every morning doing stuff like...
Has an awful name.
Sorry. Hot takes and hot cakes. Don't tell Sal. That's his idea, man, not mine.
I love Sal, but come on.
I hope he's listening.
Like, I feel like that should be First Take. Like, that should be the name of First Take. Because that combines their old name of Cold Pizza, which was supposed to be like breakfast food, and the new name, which is like Scorching Hot Takes from Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. Like, it combines the two. I feel like maybe even as bad of a football analyst as you are, that name is still below you.
Okay. Well, no, that makes sense.
but anyway, definitely check Matt out at all of his places, and because he probably gives better fantasy advice than I do, because my team sucks so far. But you can find me at LeoHowell8 on Twitter, and you would see that on the bottom here, but I don't know how to do that, and he'll probably tell me afterwards, and it'll be super easy, and I'll have it next time. LeoHowell8 is the Twitter address. You can find me at RotoGrinders, where I'm doing tape-based reviews and previews For daily fantasy in particular, my latest looks into Bobby Rainey with the Bucks and the Atlanta defense, and got some stuff coming up on Thursday looking ahead to week 3. So definitely check into that. And I'm also at NumberFire, where you can check out all of our NFL stuff, both for real and for fantasy football. And I'm at Bucks Nation, so if you want to care about my awful prediction about how the Bucks were going to do this year, you can go there and find that out and find lots of really hot takes. I'm going to call them hot takes about Josh McCown and Mike Glennon in the comment section. You really want to go to the comment section and read what people have to say about the quarterback situation in Tampa, because it's great.
It was really cute watching all you Bucks fans get excited for your sexy team for like the 5th year in a row. It was cute.
Well, yeah, I mean...
No, take my dig. Don't respond. Take it. Whatever.
At least it's about the Bucks. Like, I know that they suck. Like, yeah. Ultimately, there's always that lingering doubt in the back of a Bucks fan's mind that this will be the year always means this is probably not the year, but I'm going to hope it is anyway. Because really, all we have is the preseason. We're like the Jaguars at this point. Like, all we have is that preseason hope that things are going to be different. I don't even know what Raiders fans have because their off seasons aren't even good.
That's so disgusting.
And I think Raiders fans know that. Like, I feel like they're not going to be mad at me for
I don't know.
Saying that Reggie has no idea how to run the franchise and that they don't have any talent on either side of the ball except for Derek Carr, who is great. Shut up.
Oh, this is a real treat.
Derek Carr is better than...
Oh, no.
Mike Glennon.
Okay, well...
Will you give me that?
Sure.
Okay.
At least you said...
Better than Johnny Manziel.
No.
No? Okay, no. Well, we'll debate that on some on the former college football draft prospect game plan podcast. For the Fantasy Game Plan podcast, we are done for this week. Check us out on Twitter, @FantasyGamePlan. You can email us, fantasygameplan@gmail.com, which is now also a Google Plus. I don't know anything about Google social media stuff, as you can tell. But you can find us on Google Plus under that email address and follow us, I think. I'll be tweeting and writing all this stuff later once I figure all this crap out. But for Matt, I am Leo, and have a great week. And feel free to tweet and email us questions, and we will answer them on the next podcast/hangout at this time next week.